I'm James C. Jones. I write books for Skyhorse Publishing. Written four books for them. I'm in process of working on my fifth book for Skyhorse Publishing. And it's been brought to my attention by the publisher that I should do a little video to introduce myself and my qualifications and then talk a little bit about my books. So here we are and here we go. I've been doing this for about 45 years as a writer, but more of a speaker and an advocate. I don't like to call myself a survivalist or a prepper. I'm more of a self-reliance practitioner and advocate. Before I start talking about my books, though, I really do need to establish my credibility. Because anybody can go and make a video like this nowadays and a YouTube and say this or say that or claim to be an expert. And people say, oh, gee, I saw him on YouTube. I saw him on a website. And therefore, he must know what he's talking about. But based on some of the stuff that I hear out there, it's not necessarily so. I'm not a retired Navy SEAL. I'm not a former Green Beret. I'm not a professional writer that spends all his time up in the woods. I'm not, as a professional survival instructor. I made my career elsewhere, but where I did my career actually had a lot more to do with real survival and real preparedness than some of those so-called experts, and they are experts in their own field. The problem with that is that they don't really relate really well to the individual like you out there in the city and in the suburbs. So I'll give you a little bit about my personal qualifications to talk about survival, to write about survival and emergency preparedness and self-reliance. I will not and do not promote products for profit, so you're not going to see me or read in my books that I recommend you spend $500 for a knife or some other product or join some group or some educational activity because they kick back some money to me or because I'm promoting them in some way. I'm a regular guy with a regular budget, and this is the way I try to relate to my readers. I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, and I mean the tough, rough south side of Chicago, okay? Sometimes I still say this and that, you know, because I lived on the south side of Chicago, okay? I lived in the neighborhoods, in the hoods. I have a lot of experiences, not all of them good, but lots of experiences. I have lived in a house without electricity for extended periods of time, without running water, without heat sometimes, when I had a rough, rough childhood, which made me probably who I am. Through high school, I was practically homeless. I lived in the attic of an old hotel. I worked two jobs, cleaning up at taverns and that kind of thing after work, so I didn't have any time for social activities throughout high school. It was just hard to get, just even make it through high school, but I knew I needed that to get onto some college education and get ahead. But I had a really hard, tough childhood. In fact, when I was a kid, I think I probably had a survival pack since I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And I still have them, believe it or not, even though I lost everything else over the years through some very rough situations. I still have the original army blanket that I had in my little pack when I was in Boy Scouts when I was 10, 12 years old, whatever. So anyhow, point is I go way back. It's fundamental in me to be prepared. It's fundamental in me not to depend on the systems or any kind of support. I certainly get along well in society and have, but I'm always ready to do without backup. I spent a considerable time camping, and in fact, lots of times when things got rough at home, I would head out to the woods, and there was still woods around the south side of Chicago when I was a little kid anyhow, and I'd just stay overnight. Strangely, nobody missed me. But anyhow, I'd spend a day or two out in the woods, so a lot of experiences there, a lot of experiences that most children couldn't, don't have, and shouldn't have had. But later on, I got into rock climbing. I got into cave, I did caving. I've done river rafting. I've done archery. I've done shooting. A lot of backpacking, a lot of camping, a lot of outdoor activities. In fact, involved in that is where I started to consider things about, well, what if I need first aid? What if I can't get back to civilization? What if the weather changes? Those kind of things, the what ifs. What if analysis, by the way, was something that I later learned how to do professionally in my career. I've organized and participated in multiple, probably dozens and dozens of outdoor survival events, minimal equipment drills, winter camps, hot weather camps, backpacking with minimum equipment in wilderness areas. So that's where that side of my experience comes from, where versus my really in-depth experiences, personal experiences with urban survival. Professionally, I was a safety manager for a large chemical production facility. I was in that capacity for over 20 years. In that capacity, I attended scores of training programs that related safety and survival very closely related. In fact, I think it was my survival instincts and my survival thinking that got the corporation to see that I had a future in safety. I have multiple certificates in safety management from OSHA and also from the American Society of Safety Engineers. I have a certificate as a hazard control manager from the Board of Certified Hazard Control Managers. I apply many of these safety principles in my survival articles and magazines, and in my books and in my presentations. I am currently a volunteer in police service with my local town police volunteers. They call it VIPS, Volunteers in Police Service. I'm also involved in the fire department's civilian emergency response teams. We had a flood here years ago, and they decided to form an emergency response team. Sort of went downhill a little bit because, as people tend to be, they became complacent as we didn't have a flood or anything for a while. And I've now pointed out to them that they need to re-energize that program, and I'm going to be involved in that. I spent considerable time studying human behavior, and human behavioral side of survival is probably my strongest suit. And what goes on up here? This is your most important survival pack that you carry in your head all the time. All the information, you can put as much information in there as you want, and it never gets heavy, it never gets full. But how people handle stress, how do you react under stress, how you can manage your stress, and my 10 principles of survival, which is covered in some way or another in all of my books. And by the way, the 10 principles actually applies to life as a whole. How did people react? And I studied disasters in history and things that happen in history. And I've certainly looked in depth at how we are continuing to react to the COVID-19 crisis and to the civil unrest and the other crises that are coming down the road. I have written multiple articles predicting some of these kind of things in recent times. The growing political unrest has been part of my survival matrix very recently. Some of the articles that I've written in the articles for a newsletter that I write for Live Free USA, which is a nonprofit organization that I created back in 1968. I write articles for that newsletter and that website, which is at AmericanSurvivor.org. The article that I've written is Surviving an Epidemic, which was written back in 2017. Descent into Chaos, Storm Warning, Civil War and Revolution, The Coming Age of Civil Disorder. These are articles that I've written in the last few years that obviously predicted what was likely to happen, and of course, a lot of information on how to prepare for them and how to survive those kinds of events. So those were kind of the things that I was doing to prepare for or anticipate what was going to happen. And by the way, anticipation is the first rule of my 10 principles of survival anticipation is principle number one, that you have to be able to anticipate things. So if you're buying my books or you're listening to my lectures or you go to my website at AmericanSurvivor.org, then you know you'll learn to anticipate, or you are anticipating, that other things are going to happen. It's not over because the COVID-19 thing is getting better or civil unrest has settled down. There's, unfortunately, we're in a very unstable situation. So I think I have some qualifications to talk about safety, to write about safety and survival, my professional training, my experience, and what I consider to be a unique practical approach to the challenges of survival and freedom in the coming decades. If my readers would like to contact me, you can contact me at SurvivorJJ@AOL.com. That's SurvivorJJ@AOL.com. I'd love to hear from you. A lot of the good things that I put in my books come from questions and suggestions that I get from interacting with people when I'm doing lectures or I'm out in the field teaching survival or advocating survival. So, let's talk about my books and specifics, okay? I have written 4 books. My first book is titled Advanced Survival. And basically, this nice little book is basically a self-reliance manual. It's not a disaster survival book. It's a self-reliance manual. And what I do here is I cover every aspect of our life that we depend on the system for. And instead of, I give you an alternative, or in some cases, a couple of alternatives. Things like when the grocery store isn't open, when you can't go to the hospital, when the police aren't coming to help you, when the fire department isn't coming to put out a fire, when you need to find food on your own, when you need to supply your own heat, your own shelter, all kinds of long-term alternatives, water. I usually provide several different alternatives, like here's a picture of, you know, rain barrels, and then I talk about how you can collect water, how you can filter it. I also talk about sanitation, which is quite often overlooked. And yeah, I actually built an outhouse years ago for a survival center, and I know how to build an outhouse, but I'll talk about all the other kinds of options you would have to do that very nasty job of substituting when the toilets don't flush anymore. So it's a very nice little book. It's from Skyhorse Publishing. So that was my first book. A little while after that, I started out on my second book, and I challenged myself to find 10 ways to do everything you needed to do. So the theme of the book is 10. Total survival, and pretty total survival in this book, covers a lot of material. Okay, in total survival, I have 10 ways to get water, 10 ways to build a shelter, 10 disasters to prepare for, 10 ways to get food, 10 ways to start a fire or keep a fire going, 10 things you should have in your pack, 10 things you should carry with you. By the way, I was the originator of the principle of everyday carry, only then I called it back in 2011, I think it was. Everyday carry, I called it COPOC survival, the 10 things you should have with you all the time. And I was one of the only people up to date that advocated that everybody should always carry an N95 mask in their pocket or purse for multiple reasons, which I clarify in my book. 10 ways to avoid street crime. Again, 10 ways to avoid street crime. Where did I say I live? I lived in Chicago on the South Side. Part of it was, you know, being smart, how to move through the city, how to be alert, what to be alert for, what to prepare for. And then I have 10 ways to defend yourself. And I had got together with some friends who are experts on self-defense, and we photographed and went through 10 different moves that you could do to free yourself if you are, caught, you know, by somebody tries to grab you by the collar, grab you by the arm, or whatever, or tries to assault you in some way. 10 ways to defend yourself. And I apply the 10 principles also to self-defense and street defense. And I think it's one of the best short articles on that subject. 10 medical skills you should have. And I bring forward not only my first aid skills and my EMT skills for this book. It's 10 medical skills that you should have. And this is really a pretty good selling book. Again, Skyhorse Publishing. But 10 natural disaster prepare for civil unrest. Some of the stuff that I put in here on street defense, I can, if I had time, I would tell you some very interesting stories about living on the south side of Chicago for over 40 years that I lived there. My third book with Skyhorse Publishing is 150 Survival Secrets. So it was originally going to be, I'll give you the tip here, it was originally going to be 150 questions for a survivalist. I guess Skyhorse wasn't really happy about me using the word survivalist, but I thought it would grab people's attention. But anyhow, it is written in the question and answer format. And I have over 150 questions in here answered about survival. Everything from how should I prepare for, the routine stuff, like how should I prepare for a storm? What knowledge should I have related to first aid? What are the two classifications of disaster a survivalist needs to be ready for? I could just go through here over 150 different things. But some of the things I cover in here are controversial. Some of them are things that people never think of. For instance, what if I live in an apartment? It's a whole different thing. A lot of these survival books assume you live in a house or you live in the country or something. I don't know what they assume. But what if you live in the country? What if you live on a farm? Well, how do you prepare? Totally different scenarios. What if I live in an apartment? Okay, what can I do? How can I prepare? What will I be able to do if I have to evacuate? What if I live in a neighborhood that's infested with gangs, that's controlled by gangs, like I did? How do I prepare? How am I going to survive? Now, you might say, you should just move out. Well, people have jobs that they have to go to. People have budgets. As I said, I try to be practical. People have limitations. They have family obligations, like I did. And so it was more practical for me to live in the city where I live than it was to just throw everything out and go up in the hills. Okay? Everybody can't do that. You have to live in your life. You have to take care of your family. You have to take care of your budget. You have to take care of your job. You have to live with the situations that you have. And I cover those kind of scenarios. What happens when your neighbors come pounding on your door because they didn't put away anything? How can you make your community stronger by teaching and helping other people to prepare? And I talk about that. Should you let other people know about your preparedness, or should you keep it a big secret? And there's two sides to that. I covered those kind of subjects here. I haven't covered some controversial stuff like what's the difference between a survival group and a militia. What military skills would be useful for a survival person, a person trying to survive under some of the conditions and scenarios that we might have to face in the next decades. Subjects that not everybody wants to cover. What's the difference between a prepper and a survivalist? Okay. You want to know? You have to book. You'll have to get the book. Okay. And then we have the next book coming out. I haven't even got the full book yet, but it should be here any day now. The Ultimate Book of Survival Gear. And over all these years, I realized, holy crap, I got a lot of survival stuff, okay? And I was actually going to call this book Survival Stuff, okay? I'm going to do a series of videos, by the way, from my website, AmericanSurvivor.org, called Survival Stuff, and we're going to cover lots of stuff. But at any rate, they decided to call it the Ultimate Book of Survival Gear, which is an apt title. And what it is a photograph. I photograph dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of classifications of survival gear and talked about the specific gear and equipment you could have, you should have, what's good, what's not so good, what your choices are, and there's a vast number. And I cover everything from fire starters, advanced first aid equipment, firearms, knives, shelters, sleeping bags, radios and communication gear, just about anything you can think of related to being prepared, like fire extinguishers, for instance, is another one I covered, which a lot of people don't talk about fire extinguishers, which is important. But anyhow, every classification, I think there's like about 30, 35 classifications of survival equipment. Surplus equipment that is still on the market, stuff that people don't really think about, that, yeah, maybe I should have some of that. You know, I talk about the foods, okay? Water purifiers. And I evaluate, look at these kind of equipment, and I don't recommend the real expensive fancy stuff, that's because you got a budget, so you got to have so much money for knives, you have so much money for shelters, so much money for food. So if you put too much money in one, you won't have enough of the other. So it's a balance, okay? Then at the end of it, I bring it all together in what equipment you should have at home, what kind of packs you should have, and I talk about the get-home pack, the pack you have when you go to work, and it's just enough to get you out and get you home in a 2 or 3 day emergency on foot. And I talk about the maximum survival pack, and I talk about some hybrid packs. And also, again, about the everyday carry stuff, things you should have in your pocket, in your vehicle, those kind of things. So I bring all that equipment together at the end, and we'll talk about what you should have in the various levels of, you know, stay at home, dig in and stay at home, versus escape and evasion. This recent COVID epidemic should have brought home to people that you can't depend on a survival pack, and you're not necessarily going to evacuate. You know, all your stuff is at home, and evacuation is probably the last resort. You may have to do it. You should be able to do it, but I talk about a lot about stuff to have at home. Okay, so that's the books that I have now in publication. I have one more that I'm working on. It's going to be a great book. It's going to be called The Prepper's, I believe we're going to go with The Prepper's Guide, or The Prepper's First Aid Handbook, and it's going to cover a lot of the first aid skills that you need in an emergency when you can't go to the hospital, or the hospital or the EMS is not coming to you. I talk not only about from my experiences as an EMT, with the EMT classification, it covers, well, this is what you do, and then you take them to the hospital, and this is how you stabilize them. But I also realize that you may not be able to take them to the hospital. You may be way out in the woods somewhere. Or maybe there's two situations, survival. One, civilization leaves you, which means everything falls apart and it's, you know, ultimate collapse of civilization, or at least temporary collapse of civilization. And then when you leave civilization, you go into the backwoods. In either of those cases, you may have to go beyond legally what is necessary for first aid. You may have to reset a dislocated shoulder. You may have to realign a broken bow. You may have to use antibiotics. You may have to flush and you may have to suture a wound. Oh, how do you do those things? So I cover that first layer of emergency immediate first aid, and then I go into further advanced and more long-term care, and I cover it from a number of different angles, and I always cover it from the fact that you're not an EMT, you're not a doctor, but these are things you could do. So I don't talk a lot about administering IVs and oxygen and all the kind of EMT stuff that I know about, because you're not likely to have that kind of equipment. But I do cover in detail the kind of equipment you can have, and it's sort of nice to know that thanks to the internet, you can now buy advanced medical equipment that you couldn't get before. So I do cover everything from full first aid trauma kits to minimum first aid kits to what you should have at home to some of the neat little stuff that you could have that would really save a life in an emergency. And of course, I cover everything from, you know, the basic ABCs, airway, breathing, circulation, giving, using an AED, administering CPR and bandaging and splinting and all the basics. But I also cover well beyond that in this new book, which is supposed to come out, I believe, in early 2022. So that's me. That's my books. I hope you'll buy my books. I hope you'll come and visit me and give me some comments if you want at SurvivorJJ@AOL.com. If you'd like to check out more about my organization and some of my other articles, and maybe even subscribe to join Live Free USA, and get our newsletter, which you can download when you join online. You can download all the back issues, actually. But anyhow, hope to hear from you. I'm SurvivorJJ@AOL.com. So thank you for your time.